السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله يا على الصلاة يا على الصلاة يا على الفلاح يا على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. There was once a man from the Ansar, from the people of Medina, and his name was Kulthum ibn al-Hidam. And Kulthum ibn al-Hidam used to lead the people in prayer in the first masjid that was ever built in the history of Islam, Masjid Quba, the masjid that was built even before the Prophet's masjid in the city of Medina. He used to lead the people in salah, and when he used to lead them in salah, after he would recite Surah Al-Fatiha, he would follow up his recitation of Fatiha with Surah Al-Ikhlas. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. Once he had recited this surah, he would recite another surah after this. But he would always recite this surah. Without fail, he would recite this specific surah in every salah, in every rak'ah. And so the people who were praying behind him, the other companions, they started to say amongst themselves, why does he always recite this surah? Why doesn't he just recite another surah? Why does he always stick to reciting the Surah Al-Ikhlas every single time? Maybe if he left it, maybe if he didn't read it sometimes, or left it altogether and read another surah instead. So they approached him and they asked him, they said, can you, you know, leave this surah? Don't recite this surah all the time. Read another surah instead. And they consider him to be the best from amongst them. You know, the one who they respected the most. That's why he was the imam. When the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam left the city of Makkah and made the hijrah to Medina, when he arrived in Quba, he stayed in the house of Kulthum ibn al-Hidam. So this man was someone who was respected amongst the companions. So when they approached him and they asked him, they said, you know, read something else. Read other surahs. Don't always read Surah Al-Ikhlas. So he said to them, I'm not going to stop reading Surah Al-Ikhlas. I'm not going to stop reading it. And if you want, you can have another imam who will lead you in the prayer. But me, I can't leave reciting this surah. I'm going to carry on reciting how I'm reciting. So they went to the companions went to the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, and they told him this situation. And so the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he called Kulthum ibn al-Hidam. He called him and he asked him, he said, what stops you from doing what your companions are asking you to do? And he said, O Messenger of Allah, inni uhibbuha. He said, O Messenger of Allah, I love reciting this surah. Verily, I love reciting this surah. And the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, hubbuka iyyaha adkhalaka al-jannah. Your love for this surah will cause you to enter into paradise. Brothers and sisters, this surah is a surah most of us recite every single day. Maybe for the correct reasons, and maybe because it's convenient for us, because it's such a short surah. It's a surah which most of us know. Most of us memorize at a young age. Most of us recite it every single day in our salawat. Yet how many of us actually understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in this surah? What is His message? What is He trying to convey to us? What is Surah Al-Ikhlas all about? What is the meaning behind these words that we recite every single day? Nowadays, when a person prays, it's like as if he's absent-minded. He's not focused on the salah. He's not paying attention to what he's reciting. It's just a formality. He goes through the motions. He says what he needs to say and does what he needs to do. To such an extent that sometimes we pray a salah, we pray Asr or Maghrib, and the time for the next prayer comes and we're thinking, have I prayed Asr? Did I pray Asr? A person can't even remember. We can't even remember if we prayed. So a person, he needs to be focused. He needs to understand what he's doing and what he's reciting in the salah. And every single one of us here needs to understand and try to gain some insight into the tafsir of Surah Al-Ikhlas and the virtues of Surah Al-Ikhlas and the status of this beautiful surah. This surah is known as Surah Al-Ikhlas, and Ikhlas means sincerity and it also means purity. And the reason why it's called Surah Al-Ikhlas is because this surah is unique in the sense that its only message, the only thing that this surah talks about, the only subject that it covers, the only thing that it deals with is Tawheed, is the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't talk about anything else. All it talks about is the oneness of Allah. And this is why another name for this surah is Surah Tawheed, the Surah of Tawheed, because it doesn't deal with anything else except the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From the virtues of this surah, brothers and sisters, is that this surah is equivalent to a third of the Quran. Once a man came to the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam and told him, O Messenger of Allah, there is a man who gets up during the night to pray, and all he prays is Surah Al-Ikhlas. That's all he prays. He doesn't pray, he doesn't recite anything else. All he recites is Surah Al-Ikhlas. It was like as if he was trying to demean and lower the value of his night prayer because that's the only surah he would recite. And so the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he told him, إِنَّهَا لَتَعْدِلُ ثُلُثُ الْقُرْآنِ. Verily this surah is equivalent to a third of the Qur'an. Now this shouldn't make a person think that if I read this surah three times, I've recited the whole of the Qur'an. And it shouldn't stop a person or refrain a person from reciting the rest of the Qur'an. Why is it equivalent to a third of the Qur'an? The Qur'an in and of itself covers three main topics. From the topics that the Qur'an covers is rules and regulations. How a person should pray, how a person should do wudu, marriage and divorce, fasting, and how to give charity. Things that relate to rules and regulations in Islam. The second thing that the Qur'an covers is rewards and punishments. The rewards of those who do good deeds. Stories of those who are from the righteous and things that they used to do. The punishments of those people who used to sin and what they used to do. Examples of those people from the past and their punishments in the hellfire. And the third category that the Quran talks about is at-tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why Surah Al-Ikhlas is considered to be a thuluth of the Quran, a third of the Quran, because all this Quran talks about is at-tawheed. Another virtue of this surah, brothers and sisters, is the fact that if a person loves this surah, if a person loves this surah, his love for this surah, as we have already mentioned, will cause him to enter into Jannah. It will cause him to enter into Jannah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has ordered us to do lots of things, lots of deeds, lots of obligations. And when we do an act of worship, we are doing it to gain the closeness towards Allah Azza wa Jal, to gain the love of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. You know, when we do something for our parents, when we do something for our family members, and we know that if we do this, they will love us for it. They'll become happy. And they'll love us because we are doing those things for them. And they'll become happy. And that increases the love between each other, between you and your spouse, for example, or you and your children, or you and your parents. This surah, loving this surah, reciting this surah, will cause you the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and will cause you to enter into Jannah. So every single person should have a love for this surah. Every single person should have an affection for this specific surah. From the virtues of this surah is that it's a source of protection for the believer at night, before he goes to sleep. Aisha radiallahu anha, she said that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, before he would go to sleep, he would cup his hands together. He would cup his hands together and he would blow into them and he would recite قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقْ and قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, the last three surahs of the Qur'an. And then he would recite these and then he would wipe his face and the rest of his body. And then he would go to sleep. So this surah is a source of protection for the believer before he goes to sleep. This surah, brothers and sisters, why was it revealed? At what moment was it revealed? Some of the Quraysh and those who used to worship idols, they would come and they would try to challenge the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. They would try to, you know, trick the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam and try to find some fault in this so-called new religion that he's trying to propagate to the rest of the people. And so they would say to him, "Ansib lana rabbak," tell us the lineage of your Lord. Where does your Lord come from? And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he revealed this surah. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. And I want to go through this surah and the ayat and what they actually mean, so that next time we pray, next time you're in salah and you're reciting this surah, or you're in salah and the imam recites this surah, you can understand. And you know what this surah means. You know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. Allah azza wa jal, he says, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. Say he is Allah the one. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam was given this surah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, say he is Allah the one. Who is he talking to? The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. But when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasalam recited this surah after he was given this surah, he would still say, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. He would still say he is Allah the one. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam to say هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ, then why would the Prophet say قُلْ at the same time? If he's already the one saying it, he's being told to say it, so wouldn't it be more appropriate for him to say هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ? What's the point of him saying قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ? He's already saying this, the second part, or the next three words of this ayah. هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. This shows us, brothers and sisters, that the Qur'an wasn't something which was just preserved with regards to its meaning, but also it was preserved literally. Every single word of the Qur'an, every single letter of the Qur'an is preserved. And it also shows us that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was simply a messenger. He was simply a conveyor of the message. He would receive the message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then he would convey it to the rest of the people. That was his job. That was his duty. Just as he was given the revelation, that's how he would give it to the rest of the people. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. He says, he is Allah, the uniquely one. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this attribute and this name of Allah, Al-Ahad, the uniquely one. But before he mentions this name, he mentions another name. He mentions Allah. And the scholars, they say that from the greatest names of Allah is Allah itself. The name which is mentioned most in the Quran, in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is Allah. There is no other name which is mentioned more. And the greatest verse in the Quran, the greatest verse in the whole of the Quran, starts with the word Allah. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum. Ayatul Kursi. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. He mentions this name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ahad meaning the uniquely one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unique. Unique in what sense? In what sense is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unique? Allah azza wa jal is unique in every single sense of the word. There is no one who is equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has no partners. He has no spouses. He is unique in the sense that nothing should be worshipped except Him. He is unique in the sense that He is the creator of everything in existence. He is unique in the sense that He is the sustainer of everything that exists. You know, the heartbeat that is in every single one of us, it keeps pumping, it keeps beating every single day, every single minute, even when we're asleep. And it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who sustains this. It's Allah azza wa jal who makes sure that our heart's beating day in and day out non-stop. And when it does stop, then that's the end of our lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He then says, Allahu as-samad. Allah, the self-sufficient. As-samad, another name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And both of these names are unique in the sense that they're not mentioned in any other surah of the Quran. Al-Ahad and As-Samad are only mentioned in Surah Al-Ikhlas. Allah Azza wa Jal is self-sufficient, meaning He doesn't need anything from us. He doesn't need any help from us. You know, sometimes we do a good deed, we pray our 5 daily prayers, or we do an extra type of good deed. We decide to give in charity, or we decide to read some Quran one day, and we recite or we give in charity one day, and we're happy, and we're proud of ourselves, and we think, yeah, I've done such a good deed today. I don't normally do this. And you get happy and you get proud. And it's like as if you're doing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a favor. And then you don't do anything else for the whole week, thinking that's enough for the whole week. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is self-sufficient. He doesn't need any of our deeds. The only reason we're doing the deeds that we are doing every single day is for our own self, for the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us the reward and will benefit us in this life and in the hereafter. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ رِزْقٍ وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ يُطْعِمُونَ. He says, I don't want any provision from them, nor do I wish for them to feed me. I don't need any food or drink. I don't need anything from anyone else. Allah azza wa jal is self-sufficient. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He talks about those who do good deeds. Those who, for example, pray or they do other types of acts for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. He says, لَنْ يَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا. He says, neither the meat nor their blood reaches Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When someone sacrifices an animal, another act of worship, the meat doesn't reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nor does the blood. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need that meat. We're not sacrificing an animal so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can eat that food. That's not why we're sacrificing that animal. وَلَكِنْ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. But it's your piety, it's your taqwa that reaches him. When a person does these deeds for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they do these good deeds for Allah azza wa jal, and they do it purely for his sake, that's what's going to benefit him in this life and in the hereafter. It's not going to benefit Allah Azza wa Jal. Rather, we're doing these deeds for our own self. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, Allahu samad, lam yalid wa lam yulad. He does not give birth, nor was He born. He doesn't give birth, nor was He born. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He doesn't mention birth first. He mentions the fact that He doesn't give birth. And then He mentions that He wasn't born. Normally, and generally, ideally, he would mention the fact that he wasn't born first, and then he doesn't give birth. First, if we think about it, he would mention that he wasn't born, and then after this, he would say, nor does he give birth. But it's the other way around. Why is it the other way around? Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say he doesn't give birth? Lam yalid first, and then he says, walam yulad, nor was he born. Why does he mention that second, and he mentions birth first? Because the people differed with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala having a child. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts with him giving birth. He says, لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ. He doesn't give birth. Nor was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala born. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the first part of this ayah, he refutes those who claim that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave birth to a child. For example, the Christians who would say that Isa was the son of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Jews, for example, those who used to live in Arabia, those who were from Yemen, they would say that Uzairun ibn Allah. They would say that Uzair is the son of Allah. And Uzair was from the people of Israel. He was from Bani Israel. And it said that the people used to respect him and they loved him and they would, you know, hold him in high regard. Why would they hold him in high regard? Because he was the only one who had memorized the whole of the Torah. He had memorized the whole of that book, the book of the Jews. And that's why they held him in such high esteem. And they went overboard in their respect for him. And they started to say that he was the son of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah azza wa jal, he says, after refuting those who claim that he had a child, he says, لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ. He doesn't give birth, nor was he born. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wasn't born. Allah azza wa jal wasn't born. Nowadays, you have people who ask these kinds of questions. They say, for example, if Allah Azza wa Jal was the creator, who created Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If Allah is the creator, who created Allah? And they try to trick people. Atheism is spreading like wildfire. There's Muslims who are leaving Islam and entering into atheism. And a person needs to be aware. He needs to know how to deal with these questions. If Allah created every single thing in existence, then who created Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah azza wa jal is al-awwal and he is al-akhir. He is the creator of every single thing in existence. He created everything and nothing created Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's our belief as Muslims. Because we believe that there had to be an ultimate creator. Say, for example, you're at work and you want to go on break. And so you tell your boss, you tell your manager, I want to go on break. And so your manager says, let me find out from my manager if you can go on break. I'm not sure if I can give you a break. So he calls his manager and asks him, can my employee go on break? And then his manager says to him, I'm going to call my boss and ask him if, you know, you can tell that person if he can go on break. And so he calls his manager. And then he asks him the same thing. And then he says, I'm going to call my manager and I'll ask him the same thing. Will that person never go on break? That person's never going to go on break. He'll end up working 8 or 9 hours straight. The point is, brothers and sisters, that the buck has to end somewhere. There has to be an eternal creator. There has to be someone who makes the ultimate decision. There has to be someone where the buck ends. There had to be someone who created every single thing in existence, who decides what's going to happen on this earth, who knows what's going to happen in the future and what's already happened and what's happening right now. And this is our belief as Muslims. Also from our belief is that he was the first. There was nobody else who came before him. If I said, for example, Abdullah was the first one to enter into this masjid. If I said Abdullah was the first one to enter into this masjid, and then somebody came and said, yes, but who came before Abdullah? I would say Abdullah was the first one to come into the masjid. And he says, yes, but who came before Abdullah? Does the question make any sense? Doesn't make any sense. Abdullah was the first one to come into the masjid. There was nobody else who came before him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-awwal. He is the first. There was nothing which came before him. And he is al-akhir. Once everything else ceases to exist, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will still be here. There is nobody who came before him. And there will be no one who comes after him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-awwal and he is al-akhir. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. And there is none that is equal to him. So after mentioning in the first ayah that he is uniquely one, he emphasizes this and he finishes the surah by emphasizing and stating this first ayah at the beginning of the surah. وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. And there is none equal to him. Allah Azza wa Jal is unique in every single sense of the word. Nobody is equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم إنه هو الغفور الرحيم وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. One of the brothers who's a member of our congregation, he mentioned to me that one of his family members has passed away. And this is a reminder for every single one of us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He forgives all of those who have had a deceased member of their family or someone in their family who's passed away. Every single person shall taste death. And a person, when he prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he stands in the salah, he should stand in the salah and think and pray like as if it's going to be his last prayer. Pray as if when he leaves the masjid, he's not going to live anymore. He's not going to survive the day. And that he won't be able to pray after that. And when he recites the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he should try to understand and contemplate what he's reciting. Try to focus on the prayer. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, As-salah miftahul jannah. Salah is the key to paradise. Prayer is the key to paradise. If a person's prayer is, you know, if there's problems in his salah, he's going to have problems entering into paradise. If his salah is good, if his prayer is good, it's going to be easier for him to enter into paradise. And a person needs to understand the conditions of the prayer. What he has to do in the prayer. What are the actions of the prayer? And this is why this weekend, the masjid have organized an overnight tarbiyah program. All about the prayer. How a person should pray. What is he supposed to say in the salah? What is he supposed to do in the prayer? The actions of the prayer. How can he maintain the focus in the prayer? What are the conditions of the prayer? What does he have to do before he starts to pray? And so I advise the brothers and the sisters, I advise the brothers to try to attend this course, try to register, and try to benefit from this program which is taking place this weekend, inshallah, and they can find out more information from the registration office. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad, kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad, kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma ahdina fi man hadait, wa afina fi man afait, wa tawallana fi من توليت. اللهم اجعل القرآن العظيم ربيع قلوبنا ونور صدورنا وجلاء أحزاننا وذهاب همومنا وغمومنا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم لا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا يا رب العالمين. اللهم انصر إخواننا المسلمين في كل مكان يا رب العالمين. اللهم انصر إخواننا المسلمين في الشام وفي العراق وفي أفغانستان وفي أفريقيا. اللهم انصر إخواننا المسلمين في فلسطين يا رب العالمين. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات. إن الله يأمركم بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروا الله العظيم الجليل يذكركم ودعوه على نعمه يزدكم ولذكر الله أعلى وأولى وأكبر والله يعلم ما تسمعون. أقيموا الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر والله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
Souls Fufakum, straighten your rows, make sure your rows are straight. Straightening the rows is from the perfection of the prayer. So please make sure your rows are straight. Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فاجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى الله أكبر سمي الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. The weekly Saturday lecture will take place after Isha prayer tomorrow and will be delivered by Sheikh Muhammad Ali and is entitled Memories of Medina. The regular Urdu lecture will take place today after Isha. There is a new Quran class for Rivat brothers every Sunday after Dhuhr in the partitioned hall. The sisters at Green Lane Masjid have organized a gathering for Rivat sisters. This will take place on Sunday the 30th of March from 3 p.m. till 5:30 p.m. The Brothers Overnight Tarbiyah program entitled The Key to Paradise will take place tomorrow after Dhuhr. There are still places left. Please visit the Masjid office to register. The clocks will be going forward this Sunday. All evening lectures happening at